You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we do look to you with thanksgiving. Spirit of God, thank you very much. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Thank you. So help us, here we are. And our God, we're going to look to you to deal with us. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, remember, we're in the upper room, John chapter 13 through 17. And we're just hours away from his crucifixion. And in the process, they are the disciples. Judas has left. The 11 are there. They are looking in their mind up to this point, looking for prison or death itself. And that's their outlook. And God is doing that which is necessary to encourage them, to strengthen them, to give them an understanding that his departure is not theirs, and that their departure is to have, that their departure will come later in his Father's house, to his Father's house. But in the process, they have a wonderful, wonderful assignment coming up that they are to exercise and to experience. Now, so therefore, as we've been studying, looking at John, and remember now, this is intimate. He's speaking to the 11. He isn't speaking to the lower, think of the going up, different levels of understanding and everything. We aren't. We're looking at the people that have been with him, the 11 that have been with him for 3 1/3 years, and they are very conscious of they're the people that have the mostest to learn, that will learn the quickest, and they have been chosen to do so. So God gives them all that special information, which is now transferred over to us. Now, so therefore, John chapter 14, you'll recall that he told them he was who he was, I am who I am, and they just had a real problem coming to grips with that. And therefore that he, God, John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto them, unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So now, John, Thomas, each one of you, you need to understand that I am standing in front of you. I say that for the umpteenth time. Because it's important. He's just standing there in front of them, and he lets them understand, which they don't understand, that everything in forever, he's the source of it. All of creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the birds, the bugs, he's the source. He was there at Mount Sinai dealing with Israel from that mountain. He's there. So it's hard for them to get that. But the Jewish nation as such was rejecting him anyway because they found it extremely difficult that God could be like them in a human body. And understandably, you won't grab that probably as easy unless you understand that God is infinite. He has no dimensions, and everything is in the middle of God. And the stars and the billions and billions of galaxies, let alone trillions of galaxies, that they say, are but a speck in the middle of God. Just a speck. So therefore, and God, God, you're big. It's awful hard, God. That's right. For God to be little like us, with all our limitations and littleness, never. Ah, but it is true. It is true. Think of Sunday school being a temple of the living and only God. Wow. So now, looking to God and having God's help in a needed way to understand. So God, you're going to say, and you try to make it clear to them, and they just couldn't grab it. They will on the day of Pentecost, but not until then. Now, so in the process, you made it clear that you, all your works and all your words were wonderfully given in order to know God the Father in a very special way. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as God the Son, represented God the Father, and God the Father and God the Son are one, and God showed himself in the person, perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, with all those works, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. At least see the evidence, see all the evidence. Now, and they shared again, we shared together, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And we shared that at some length. All of the wonderment of that's the New Testament epistles. That's what it's all about. God's wonderful working in the believing heart, showing God's wonderful working in the believing heart in a wonderful way so that people could see God's grace. Now, so here we are looking, and they're told greater than many, and we share the reason why it's greater, more, abundant, not quantity, quality. God, you're showing your body. Your head is Christ, the body is Christ. So the body's going to be like the head. And if the body's to be honored, the head's to be honored. Therefore, so looking out now, God, you said all of those things, and we looked at them in some detail. Now, the end of verse 4:12. Because I go to my Father. I am going to my Father. I'm going to the Father. Now, so therefore, you understand he's going to the Father. And remember in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's all about God the Father. God the Father is the centerpiece, in the sense of that it's all centering around his wonderful word, his work, and his will. So God, here they are looking. And remember now, they are going to be, when they receive the Lord as a Savior in Acts chapter 2, they're going to be, in a very special way, his children. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God, John 1:12. A wonderful, wonderful relationship that God makes possible. Physical birth in order to enjoy spiritual birth. And we share together, not only that, God takes it a step further and tells us, Romans chapter 8, that we are going to be sons in the Son. Same word as the Son of God, Son of Man, and we're sons. We have a unique relationship to God as children, as sons, and that relationship is marked in a very experiential way that the Spirit of God says continually, and the heart is to continually echo it back. The heart says, Abba, Father. God says, Abba, Father, to teach us the relationship that needs to be outworked. It's a father-son relationship, father-child relationship that has to be outworked. That's what you're doing. Father, that's a relationship. And hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so therefore, the church, and the church we share together is, as you know, and all these things, the church, Christ is the head of the church, and the church is his body. Now, that's important because that's what's going to happen on the day of Pentecost, a baptism of the Spirit of God. Now, so here we are looking, and the church, which is his body, And the church represents him. So the body, your body, perfectly represents your head. It perfectly does. If there's any inconsistency or disharmony within your physical body, you are going to know it. And your head is going to communicate to you. You got a problem. But when everything feels good, as you sit there, everything is in harmony with your head. And your head is comfortable with your nervous system and everything else. And your nervous system is responding to all those signals and everything, and the neurons and stuff going on. And all of those things are going on, and your body is comfortable. God, what have you done? I'm going to go and take you, the 11, and all the believers thereafter. I'm going to give them a very special relationship to me. And they're going to go and be able to do and continue to do what the Lord Jesus did in his three and a third years. He went and showed the Father by his works and words. When you saw him, you saw the Father. That's right. Now, he's going to continue doing that after his resurrection, showing, and you have to have life. That's right. So when we receive the Lord as our Savior, he gives us eternal life, and we have an eternal relationship to God, and we go forward in a most wonderful way, looking to God and seeing God's wonderful working. Now, and in doing so, we're going to go as children, as sons, looking to the Father. That's right. And the body represents the head. The head belongs to the Father. Christ belongs to the Father as the Son of God. And so sons of God are going to enjoy a unique relationship to the Father by way of the Son. So the body, the head, the Father. And the body is going to enjoy a unique relationship to the Son to the Son in a very special way. Now, how are we going to, now back to the works, verse 12. All of those works are going to be done until he comes and takes the church up to be with himself, and the believers that are on planet Earth are to go and represent him. So, here they are, and they are going to go and honor the Father from start to finish. And in the process, that relationship is only made possible by way of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to make it possible in the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he's going to make, the Lord Jesus said, you're going to receive power, dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. You're going to have all of that energy, oomph, to what? To be able to be my witnesses. My witnesses? Uh-huh. Mine. No one else's. You're mine. You are a prize, just like think of Israel in Exodus chapter 19. Only now for us in Christ, in a most wonderful way, prized, privileged, precious persons, personal, my witnesses, mine, they're mine. They're going to go, and as we share together, they're going to show the wonderful resurrected life of the Lord Jesus. And we share that. That's what they're going to do. They aren't there to do anything else except that and to bear witness to God's wonderful saving grace. Now, so God, you're going to go and you make them your witness for your working. You want to work your work, continue your work in them, so that your working will be outworked in their work. And so as they are exercising on planet Earth, they are going to demonstrate and look and show your wonderful person the same as you do. Only they're going to do it not as the head, they're going to do it as the body. And the body is going to show it belongs to the head in a very, very special way. Now, and therefore, Because the end of verse 12, because I go to the Father. Now, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So God, here we are looking, and you make another awesome statement on how it's going to work. Now, and so, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask, you're going to ask. Remember, the word ask is very important. Now, there's different words for A-S-K, ask. And this word ask has to do with desire. Desire of the will, the desire of a person, the desire of a person, the wish of a person to have something, to see something, to go for something. It gives expression to the heart. I desire God this. I wish this. I want this. That's the key, underline, desire. It isn't used of the Lord Jesus Christ. We use the word ask. And so here we are looking to God, and God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. Now, in the process of doing that, and whatsoever you shall ask, whatever you're asking, your desire, in my name, underline, in the light of who I am, in the light of all that I am, in the light of my name and nature and essence and being, all of that I am as God, you're going to ask in my name. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am God. When you've seen me, you've seen God. Aha, that's what he said. Verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in chapter 14. So now, God, here we are looking, and you're going to go, and it's going to be whatever we ask in your name, in the name. Now, remember now, we shared together hold your finger here. Why not? And back in Matthew chapter 28 again, Matthew chapter 28, and you will note the commission of the church, it's called, the end of chapter 28, verse 19, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them, identifying them, In the name singular, not plural, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Back in the name, my name, who I am, all that I am, in essence, nature, being. I am the Father, I am the Son, I am God the Holy Spirit. I'm all. You're going to ask in my name. Now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Chapter 14. You're going to ask, desiring. You're going to look to me to please. You want to please me. And you're asking God, desiring God, the Father, as sons, as children, Abba Father. So we got that part. That's what we're relating to you as Father. So it's a relationship that's going to outwork itself. Uh-huh. And whatever you ask, as a child, son, you're going to ask it, desire it in my name, so that I perfectly, the Lord Jesus Christ, for 3 1/3 years, perfectly identified, Romans, John chapter 8, 28, 29, pleased God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All that he did, his words, his thought, his deeds, all of them honored God the Father, pleased God the Father. Now, and God, that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, God, what are we going to do? Well, we are going to go in your name. Now, you did it, Lord, in your wonderful person. Now, we are saved, and we understand our relationship to God that you're going to make possible, and we're going to exercise that relationship that you have. So what are we going to do? In your name and nature, because of our relationship to you, as sons, as children, we're going to come to you and look to you to deal with us. And we're looking for what? To outwork, what's our assignment? It is to bear witness and record of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to evidence why the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty because he is risen. And here we are. That's right. Now, in the process as sons, we're to continue what? The body is going to continue showing the Son, S-O-N, capital big, the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to show the Son, the risen Son, as sons, They're going to show how. So we're going to, God, we're here we are. He made it. He, in his perfect person, said, not my will, but thy will be done. Now it's our turn. We're in the body, and we understand the relationship. Now exercise the relationship in my name. And so as we, Father, that's right, Father, in the name, in Christ's name, we're representing your Son. And here we are coming, looking to you, and we're desiring for what? Your wonderful will, your words, your works. Our Lord gave us the wonderful privilege of relating to you so that we could honor you in this very special relationship as sons. So we're asking in the name of the Son. We're asking what? We're desiring your wonderful will as you did for 3 1/3 years. We're looking for you to continue outworking your good will in our life, Father, in order to glorify the Son. When the Son is glorified, you are glorified. Now, that's a relationship in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, in the process of all of that, and we're going to go and exercise what? Remember the witness. Because why? Think of Sunday school. Everything you did, God, was because of your grace. And grace means it's all of God and nothing of anybody else in any way, shape, or form. It's all of God. So God, here we are looking to you, and you're going to go, and we're representing the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. Slain, that means he was crucified before. That's why everyone can be created, because God has a saving solution for them. And God, you did that. And now in order to show that's what you did, before anything or any angels or anybody, you determined that, to die on the cross. And the evidence that you would die on the cross is an empty tomb. And what are we to do? We're to bear witness to the empty tomb. And what are we doing? Think of all the things you do. And think of the Apostle Paul's testimony in Corinth, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 2. I determined to know nothing among you except what? Jesus Christ and him risen. No. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Living. We're living, pointing to the death of Jesus Christ. What do we do with the Lord's table? Preaching the Lord's what? Death until he comes. He died, and we're here alive. He's risen. The one that died before the foundation of the earth, that died for you. You need to know that he is the one. He is the one, the gospel, according to the scriptures. Buried, crucified, buried, and risen again, according to the scriptures, the gospel. And that's the message we're to bring to the world. An empty tomb, in order to remind you that God, the Creator, has a wonderful saving plan for everybody, all nations, Jew and Gentile, and all of history, from the first Adam to the last person born in the millennium. All of those you made a wonderful provision for. And that's an awesome thing. That's right. It's all about that. And we're witnesses. That's right. And how are we going to witness? The same as our Lord did. Otherwise, we aren't the same. Otherwise, the head's one thing and the body's different. No, the body has to match the head. And so, therefore, the works that he did, we do. But it isn't our works. It's his works. It's his continued working as sons. So what am I going to do to show that I'm with it? I'm asking. I'm showing the world and everyone else around me. I desire. I'm asking. Whatsoever you desire in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Hang on. It comes out. Now, so in the light of that, So therefore, the heart needs to be willing and ready in order to choose God's wonderful will and work, in order that the Father, that's the whole point, the Father may be glorified, but the Father is going to be glorified in the Son. You aren't going to glorify the Father apart from the Son. You're going to glorify the Father in the Son. The Son glorifies the Father. The Father and the Son are one, not two. So therefore, you need to understand that. So you're looking to God in the most wonderful way, and therefore, we to empty tomb, risen Christ, and God, we're going to go show your wonderful thing of the slain from the foundation of the world. Now, having said that, therefore, we're going to ask. That's right. Now, chapter 14, again, to verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, whatever you're going to be asking in my name, desiring, choosing my will, honoring, you want to honor me at work, at home, at school, at play, whatever it is, you're going to choose what I choose to enter into the relationship I have to God in person of Christ, and in the person of Christ, I choose to exercise that and show forth his wonderful working, his wonderful word, his glory, and his honor. Now, so therefore, in chapter 4 of John, our Lord, as our Lord, so will follow suit. And in John chapter 4, picking up, please, in thought, remember our Lord is going to say it right up front. Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So the whole, you need food, nourishment, hamburger, no. The reason I'm breathing, the reason I'm living, is to do the will of the Father, to finish the work from the foundation of the world, to go to the cross and die. So it's all about all wonderful, wonderful working of God's wonderful grace. Now, having said that, over to chapter 11. And Martha is going to be able to go. John chapter 11, picking up if I may. Now Martha, remember, Lazarus has died, and so we're going to go. I'm interested in Martha's statement. Chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, verse 22, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Whatever you ask of God, there's your little word. What did you know, Martha? I know that if Jesus asks anything of the Father, he does it. And it's been proven all the way, nothing else, I at least know that. I know that he always does whatever the Son asks, the Father does. That's what he does. That's what I know about him. Aha, there's your relationship that he had, a wonderful relationship to God. And Martha said, I know he does this. Now, over, if you would please, picking up in thought, to chapter 60. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And if I may, picking up, please, going to verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me how much? Nothing. Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, whatsoever, there we are, you shall ask, whatsoever shall ask the Father, because he says, Abba, Father, that's what we understand, and you're going to do it in my name. You're going to do it as a son, because you're in me, the Son, and you're the body, and therefore you are continuing what I would say, what I do. Only you are going to do it because you're looking to God, and you're going to come to God the Father the same as I do, and God the Father is going to do the same thing in you, for you, that he does for me. So, in that day, verse 23, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever shall ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, that he may give it you. Verse 24. Hitherto, up to this point in the upper room, you have asked, there's your little word each time, asked nothing in my name. And they haven't. They haven't. Of 3 1/3 years, you've asked nothing. No, you didn't. I did it. Everything, for food, water, everything, I did it. You just were there with me, benefiting from it all. That's correct. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Now, I'll read verse 25 for context. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly, simply, clearly, so there's no question, of the Father. That's right. What's it going to be? I'm going to go to the Father. That's the whole point. And you're going to say, when that happens, the Spirit of God's going to come along in your heart, and he's going to help you understand the relationship I have made possible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except by me. I'm making that possible for you so that you can be able to say, Father, and honor me in a very special way, in a day of grace, to show something. What? That I've risen again. The world doesn't believe. The Jews look for a sign, etc., and the Gentiles rebel, and no one wants to know. But I'm going to show them. So there's no question. When it's rank, out-and-out unbelief and darkness, I'm going to show the little light in the darkness. They can't deny it. They can't put it out. They hate it. That's right, John chapter 1. They hate the light. Men love darkness rather than light. That's correct. But, that's your assignment. I told them I'd bear witness. The only sign is my resurrection. Therefore, verse 26, at that day you shall ask, there's your little word, in my name, there's your three words, and I say not, N-O-T, unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. I'm not going to pray. You're going to pray in my name. You haven't done it yet, but you're going to do it. After I die, you're going to come to the Father as a son in my name. And my Father's going to do whatsoever you ask, my Father's going to do it because you're asking in my name. Hang on, it comes out wonderful. You're asking in my name. You represent me. And all that the Father did in the head, the Lord Jesus, all that the Father did in the head, he's going to do in the body. He did it for the head, our Lord. He does it for the believers, sons, children, in his body. That's what he's going to do. Whatever you ask, in my name. It isn't anything about you. It's all about him. It isn't, it isn't a blanket thing. You're going to see it. God does wonderful things. You know, we may not get to it. He said, you can move a mountain if you ask. And now who's going to believe that, right? You want to take a tree. I want you to take a whole mountain and throw it into the sea. What do you think of that? Mount Washington. We'll get rid of it. Into the sea. No. We can't do all that now, but you understand, God, you have such a sense of humor, God. You're so good at what you do. So, God, you're telling it to people that don't believe. I told you, I told you what to do to ask me. I can do whatever. And I said, oh, no, what do you mean, whatever? I'll even move a mountain into the ocean for you. How's that? No. And you can do it if you just have a little faith. You have a little faith? No, got to have faith in who I am. Yes. Do you believe who I am? See? And don't you think? In fact, in the tribulation, I think God's going to do a number on a lot of islands and mountains, don't you? And here's Hawaii over there, bubbling away. I think of all the volcanoes, the underneath the ground here. Terrible, terrible. All volatile all over the place. Underneath here. You'd never know it because we sit still. But if you had the right seismograph and all that, you would see it rumbling away. Wow. It's underneath. It's alive. Down below. That's why you don't want to go down below there. I wouldn't go below 8,000 feet. 8,000, no, you're halfway. No, you don't want to do that. Man, you're in the middle. Forget that. Now, so here, John chapter 16. You've asked nothing in my name. You're going to ask it, though. It's something you're going to do in a most wonderful way. And now, so therefore, John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, and picking up again, verse 15 and 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So I've did it. I chose you. I chose you for a wonderful, wonderful assignment to represent me. You guys are all concerned about going to prison and to die. Well, you're all going to have your little time of it. But before all of that happens, I'm going to give you as a period to develop the apostles and all of the wonderful ministry, to develop all of those wonderful truths that I want you to do. I want you to have them, enjoy them. I want you to understand, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. You want my will? Uh-huh, I do. All right. Choose. Nova chapter 15. Chapter 15, going to verse 7. Remember we read in verse 16, you'll bring forth fruit, the fruit shall remain. So now, chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall, and there's your little word, A-S-K, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How can you and I have a relationship? I'm the Lord, I'm the head, you're the body. The head, the body wants the head to be on it. Whatever the will of the head is, isn't that what you do? When you go to out in, sit, if you raise your hand up here to touch your forehead, if you want to do that, that's your head. The system tells your hand to move up there. Your head. So whatever the head wants, that's what we want. Whatever the head wants, the body does. That's what it does. Why would it do anything else? You're my body. Just think of we mentioned it this Sunday school. I do it again. Wow. But anyway, if you could just have a part of the literal body, here's a resurrected body, and just to have a part with the Son of God up there, just to be able to hang, just to have something, anything. And God has done more than that. God has gone and made you part of his body. He's made you part of his body. So where the head goes, the hand follows. You see? That's awesome. That's a relationship. Of all relationships, there's nothing like it. No, nowhere. There's nothing like it. Anyway, wow. Now, so God, whatever we ask, and when we ask, abiding, verse, we have fruit, and glorify the Father. Verse 8, 15 and 8, herein is my Father glorified. How so? That you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So God, the Spirit of God, is going to do a wonderful work. Galatians chapter 5, 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the life of God. Love, joy, peace, it's your life. So God's going to show his wonderful life in a most wonderful way. And that's what we're going to look for as a believing heart. And whatever we ask in his name, he's going to do. He's going to do it. Because he goes to the Father. And as a child, as a son in the body, A God is going to do all of these wonderful things, and you're going to do it because you're going to pray. You're going to look, ask. You desire what? I desire to honor you, God. And how am I going to honor you? In your name. I'm going to come to you, Father. Father, here I am. Here we are. I'm coming to you in his name. I'm not coming to you in my name. I'm coming to you in his name for his will, to continue the wonderful outworking of his will in whatsoever I do. Hang on to that, because we're going to get to that. Maybe not a moment, but whatsoever you ask, that's what we're going to do. That's an awesome thing. Because I'm a son, and God, I'm looking for you to do it. So God is going to be honored. And as I honor the Son, I honor the Father. When the Father is honored, the Father is glorified, and the Son is glorified. And God, it can't be anything else. Therefore, over, if you can, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. As you would note, 1 Peter in chapter 3, picking up in thought. Wow. Now, God, it's going to come together because the world has to pay attention. Obviously, they paid attention to the Lord. They either rejected him or followed him for a while anyway. But they did. How could you not pay attention to him? When he came to Jerusalem, the Passover, the whole 2.5 million or more people, more than that. I forgot how many, 2,700,000 or something people crowded into Jerusalem. And now, they all are buzzing. Where is he? Where's the one that gave Lazarus life? And there's Lazarus walking around. Wow. 1 Peter 3, verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled and all upset. And don't people going to do it? People hate light. They love darkness. So don't be surprised. What do you want? You bring light, they do it. Whatever. And they don't like it. They don't like it. When you bring that into the room, they don't want to know. The coffee shop, you're up there, the drinking fountain or whatever it is, and you're mentioning and telling of the wonderful grace of God, the saving grace of God in your life, and the people walk away. They don't want to hear that. No. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, that's right, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone, to every man, woman, boy, or girl, that asketh, there's your little word, that desire. What do they desire? They desire you. A reason, an accounting, some kind of thing. Help me understand, why are you like you are? Why do you do like you do? Why don't you do like us? I'm looking for a reason, an accounting, an understanding. What makes you different? I'm a son of God. I represent the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has saved me and given me a wonderful life. And I want you to know that God has done that. I don't deserve one drop of it, but God has done it. And therefore, I want you, he gets all the credit. And I am here to tell you that he has risen again from the grave, and he's able to do a wonderful work in your life if you would let him. I'm not interested in your religious background, your intellectual background. I'm not interested in your academic thing, anything. No, I just want you to know, do you know the Lord as your Savior, or don't you? Do you know the living and only God? Do you know him? That's what I want to know. Do you know? End of conversation. Now, what are you going to do with that? Either you know him or you don't. And if you don't, you need to. We got rid of a whole lot of junk, a whole lot of stuff. Could have spent 3 hours. Nope. Do Do you know him as your Savior? I don't know him. You got to know him. You got to know him. You got to believe. And therefore, you're going to ask a reason. I'm telling you why I am like I am. We're like we are because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so, and God, you're going to give that wonderful account and asking, asking, asking. Over to, we're starting to get there. Colossians. Asking, and you're going to see, there's no place anyway that does it. You know, asking, ask God, we'll pray, ask God, God may do it. No, you have to understand how to do it. Do you understand if you're saved, body, in Christ, you're coming in the name of Christ. You're not in your name, your feelings, your fears, your faults. Nope. Nope. Coming in his name for his glory. God, I'm asking. You told me to come and show the desire. I want you to honor. I want you to honor yourself in your son, in me. Here and now, at work, at home, at school, in the middle of a crash, middle of a terrible thing or a wonderful thing. I want you to honor yourself. So whatever, God, whatever I eat or drink, whatever I do, to the glory and honor of yourself. That's what I wish. That's what I wish. Should you get depressed? Uh-huh, yeah. I had tests like that. You probably had that, you know. Those clinics and stuff, they sit down and give you a meter and they ask you all the different questions and then they push the button and the meter scores, you know. And they said, I remember doing that over here in Middletown. Sort of funny, doing it. And in the process, they did it all. And then they push the button and the girl says, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you, you can't be like that. Why aren't you? There's no depression. There's nothing, 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 nothing. You got an old score. There must be something wrong with you. She said, you can't score like that. I said, yes, you can. Absolutely, you can score like that. You bet your boots. You betcha. No question. Wow. Anyway, I didn't take that test again. I'd just be depressed at home. That's all. I'm just kidding. You can't be depressed. It's against the rules. You realize that. You're not allowed to be depressed. I don't know that God allows you. You won't find anywhere God said, blessed are the depressed. You won't read it. Now, so Colossians, closing. I appreciate it. I hope you got a little bit. Colossians 1. Wow. And in Colossians chapter 1, picking up please in verse 9. For this cause, what are you going to pray, God? Here's his prayer. Here's God's prayer. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire. Do you see the word desire? Ask, desire. Remember he said ask. What's the key to the word ask? Desire. Different words for ask. This one is for desire, having a desire for something. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would be filled with his will in all spiritual understanding. Verse 10. Now the benefits. That you might walk worthy. Walk worthy. That means balance the scale. God's on one side, you're on the other, and you want to walk and do things that make it come out even. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Remember John 16, 15, 16. I have chosen you to be fruitful. John 15, 7. If you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. My Father's going to be glorified. That's what I want. I want a relationship. I worked. World will do whatever. Let them live in darkness. You live in the light, walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Every good work. Work, I told you. The works that I do, you're going to do. And every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So God, that's your plan. It is. It is. It's a wonderful, wonderful plan. And I'm going to do it in a most wonderful way. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, we've got to quit. But I hope you got a little bit. We didn't get very far. We're getting there. It's an awesome thing. Whatsoever you ask. That isn't a pie in the sky thing. No, sir. That's for real. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. You're going to repeat it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That's how the Father is glorified. You're going to do what I did. It has to be. That's what the plan is. I didn't ask about you. What you need to understand is who I am. That's the whole problem, isn't it? You're just ignorant fishermen, nobodies. But you serve and know the living and only God. And God in His grace is going to demonstrate the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, slain before the foundation of the world, crucified and buried and risen. And He's going to demonstrate before His wrath this period of history, the dispensation of grace, to show His wonderful person in whosoever's, that are nobodies, that God has made somebodies. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to You to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us, God, inch by inch here. Thank You, thank You, thank You very, very much. Thank You. We don't want to be just in and out of buildings and churches and everything. No, God, we want to have a exercise, an experience, a reality of life. Life that You've come to give us abundantly, God. You said abundant life, that life might be exercised and enjoyed and experienced for an education of our heart and an enlightenment of the world around us, that men and women, boys and girls might be saved. And our God, we're going to thank You very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.